You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 100 by Rudolf Steiner, a book titled True Knowledge of the Christ, composed of two 1907 lecture cycles. I am on the second one, an earlier Gospel of John lecture cycle. 8 lectures. This is lecture 2, translated by Anna Moyse, given in Basel on the 17th of November, 1907. In spiritual science, the human being we have before us is considered to consist of 7 principles. The physical body, perceptible to our sense organs, is only one of the essential human being. We have this physical body in common with the whole mineral world around us. The forces active in our physical body are the same as those in seemingly inanimate nature. The physical body is penetrated by higher powers, rather like a sponge that is full of water. The difference between inanimate and animate bodies is this. In an inanimate body, the matter of which it consists obeys merely the laws of physics and chemistry. In an animate body, the substances are linked to one another in a complex way and need the help of the ether body to stay linked in groupings that are not natural to, but imposed on them. Physical matter can at any moment return to its natural grouping, and that would mean the decomposition of the living body, and the ether body is at all times struggling to prevent this decomposition. When the ether body leaves the physical body, the substances in the physical body assume their natural grouping, and the body decomposes, turns into a corpse. The ether body is, therefore, constantly fighting the decomposition of the living body. The ether body is the power that underlies every organ. Human beings have an ether heart, an ether brain, and so on, to hold the relevant physical organs together. One is often tempted to think of the ether body as a material entity, perhaps a very subtle mist. In reality, the ether body is a sum of energy currents. Clairvoyants see certain currents in the human ether body, and these are of the greatest importance. One rises from the left foot to the forehead, goes down from there to the other foot, then to the opposite hand, from there through the heart to the other hand, and then back to its point of origin. This creates a pentagram of energy currents, and there's a picture. These energy currents are not the only ones in the ether body. There are a great many more. Human beings specifically owe their upright position to this one. Animals are bound to the earth in their forelimbs, and we do not see this kind of current in them. As to the configuration, form, and size of the human ether body, we may say that in its upper parts it is an exact likeness of the physical body. In its lower parts it is not congruent with the physical body. There is a great secret behind the relationship between ether body and physical body, providing deep insight into essential human nature. The ether body of a male is female, that of a female, male. This explains why we see much that is feminine in a man's nature and much that is masculine in a woman's nature. The ether bodies of animals are larger than their physical bodies. In a horse, for instance, a clairvoyant sees the ether body project like a cap sitting on the physical head. There is something in human beings that is much closer to them than blood, muscle, nerves, and so on. These are the sensations of pleasure and suffering, joy and pain, in short, everything human beings call their inmost life. In occult science, it is called the astral body. Human beings share it with animals only. Someone who is born blind only knows the world around him incompletely. The world of color and light does not exist for him. Ordinary people are in the same position with regard to the astral world. It exists, fills and surrounds the physical world, but is not perceived by them. The astral world becomes visible for those in whom the sense for the astral opens up. The significance and importance of this moment in human development is much greater, however, than when sight is given to someone born blind with an operation. We all know this astral world, though only incompletely so, for our astral body enters into it every night. We rest in the astral world in order to restore harmony to our astral body. For, from the spiritual scientific point of view, being tired is merely a disharmony in the physical and astral body. An analogy may throw light on the relationship between physical and astral body. If we take a sponge, cut it into 1,000 pieces, and let those pieces absorb the contents of a glass of water, that is analogous to an ordinary person when awake. If we express the little sponges and collect the water in its container, it will form a single body again. That is how human astral bodies, made individual during the day, like the absorbed drops of water, enter into the common astral substance to gain strength and energy there. We realize this from the fact that the tiredness has gone by morning. The astral bodies of people who are not yet seers mingle with the other astral bodies when they have gone out in sleep. It is different in the case of seers. Individual plants do not have astral bodies of their own. The whole plant world has one common astral body, the astral body of our earth. The earth is a living entity. Plants are its members. The fourth principle of the human being is the capital I. The word I is one which people can only use in reference to themselves. It can never reach our ear from outside if referring to ourselves. When this I sounds in an individual, it is the God in him who speaks. The animal world, the vegetable and mineral world, are in a different position with regard to the I. An animal can no more say I to itself than a finger on our hand can do. To refer to its I, the finger would have to point to the eye of the human individual. In the same way, an animal would have to point to an eye belonging to an entity which lives in the astral world. All lions, all elephants, and so on, have a common group eye, a lion eye, an elephant eye, and so on. If a plant wanted to refer to its eye, it would have to refer to a common eye at the center of the earth, in the mental world. It is known that when we stab an animal, this animal will feel pain. It is different with plants, and the seer is able to tell us that picking flowers or cutting wheat is as pleasurable a feeling for the earth as that felt by a cow when her calf sucks her milk. But when a plant is pulled out with its root, it is as if you were to cut flesh from an animal. The pulling out gives a sensation of pain in the astral world. If we were to ask where the eye of the world of rocks is to be found, it would no longer be possible to find an entity that has a center in the spiritual world. The eye of minerals is a power spread out over the whole cosmos that is to be found in the superspiritual world, the higher Devakan world, in theosophical terms. In esoteric Christian teaching, the world where the eye of animals is to be found, the astral world, is called, quote, the world of the Holy Spirit, close quote. The world where the eye of plants is to be found, the spiritual or Devakan world, is, quote, the world of the sun, S-O-N, close quote. When the seer begins to feel something in this world, the word speaks to him, the logos. The world of the mineral eye, the super-spiritual world, is known as the world of the Father Spirit in occult teaching. Human beings are evolving all the time. We have now come to know all four principles in essential human nature. Pythagoras spoke of them as the lower four in his school: the savage, the civilized person, the idealist, and the saint. These four are to be found in everyone. The savage is, however, a slave to his passions. The civilized person no longer obeys his drives and desires indiscriminately. The idealist does so even less. And the saint has gained full mastery of them. The eye works on the astral body, differentiating out a part of it. In the course of human development, this part gets bigger and bigger, whilst the inherited part gets less and less. In Francis of Assisi, the whole astral body had been worked through and transformed in activities coming from the eye. This transformed astral body is the fifth principle in essential human nature, the spirit self, or manas. The eye can also gain mastery over the ether or life body. The part of the ether body which has been transformed by the eye is called life spirit or buddhi. Impulses in art and religion influence the ether body and transform it. Religious impulses to a particularly great degree, because they are repeated daily. Repetition is the magic which transforms the ether body. Working consciously on occult training, meditation, and concentration are the means used for this. The rate of change differs in ether body and astral body, rather like the movement of the hour and the minute hand on a watch or clock. If it has been possible to make even the smallest change in one's temperament, which depends on conditions in the ether body, this is worth more than making however many spiritual theories one's own. The greatest strength is needed to make conscious changes in the physical body. The means for this are only made known in occult schools. The physical body consciously transformed by the eye is called the spiritual human being, or Atman. The power to transform the astral body flows to us from the world of the Holy Spirit. The power to change the ether body flows to us from the world of the sun, or the Word. The power to transform the physical body comes to us from the world of the Father Spirit, or the Divine Father. The end of Lecture 2.